Sing to God, sing praises to His name. Lift up a song to Him who rides through the deserts. His name is the Lord. Exalt before Him. Father of the fatherless and protector of widows is our God in His holy habitation. God places the lonely in families and leads out the prisoners to freedom. But the rebellious dwell in a parched land. But You, O God, are the Savior of this world. And God, we exalt You today for who You are. We thank You that You are a father to the fatherless, that You are a defender of the weak and the widows. And Father, we stand in awe of Your great love today. Your love that beats in Your heart with a powerful passion for the orphans of this world. We thank You for this beautiful choir that we could hear today. The beautiful songs through violin, through these children of Yours, who are a physical picture of the spiritual beauty of adoption that we also have been blessed with. And so, Lord, we speak blessings right now, not just to these adopted children, but still to the many orphans who have yet to find homes. We speak blessings into their lives today. May You place the lonely in families in this nation. And Father, we pray that today's service would be pleasing in Your sight, bringing great glory to Your name. And Holy Spirit, I ask that You would soften hearts today, the soil of our hearts, to receive Your word and to respond in joyful obedience that will change lives and change this nation to the glory of Your name. Fill me, Spirit of the living God. Anoint me, preach through me, empower me, so that all that I do, all that I think, all that I say will bring glory to the name of Jesus. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, the thoughts that run through my mind be pleasing and honorable in Your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and it is in Your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. Welcome to Orphan Sunday. According to UNICEF, there are over 153 million orphans in the world today. That's a big number. And a lot of times we grow numb to numbers. And so because of that, I want to help place and put a face on these numbers for us. And so there's a few children I want you to meet. The first is Jacob. And Jacob's parents both died from AIDS. And he was being cared for by his grandmother until she found out that Jacob also tested positive for the HIV virus. Because of the stigma attached to AIDS in many African countries, Jacob's grandmother abandoned him. And now Jacob has absolutely no one to look after him. He is alone, an orphan, in one of the poorest countries in the world today. And we need to realize that AIDS is one of the top factors that leads many children to become orphans. In fact, every 14 seconds, a child loses a parent to AIDS. A child just like Jacob. Next, I want you to meet Martha. Martha also is an orphan. When her parents died, she was taken in by her uncle, who did not really want to care for her, and that relationship turned abusive to the point where she ran away from home. She lived in a nearby woods area with other runaway children, barely surviving. But while living there, some of the other children started to abuse her as well, until she was discovered and rescued. Now, Martha is a type of girl who is extremely vulnerable, especially for being forced into prostitution. In the capital city of Martha's country, there are over 40,000 workers in the brothels, and many of them are children. Children just like Martha. Next, meet Pierre, who is only 5 years old, but he is a slave. In fact, he works from before dawn until way past dark, working to please a family that owns him. And if he does not immediately obey, he is beaten. He does not go to school. He longs to sleep in his own bed and eat with a family, which he is not able to. He wishes he could go back to his own family, but he does not even know where they are or if they are still alive. And studies show us that there are over 1 million children in the world today who are forced into slavery, either to work hard labor or in the sex industry. Children just like Pierre. This is why we have Orphan Sunday. This is a day where the church around the world celebrates the heart of God, our Father, who is a father to the fatherless and a father to us all. Now, before we continue, I know some of you are bracing yourself. Some of you were fearful of coming today because you knew it was Orphan Sunday, and you were like, I do not want Pastor Eddie to make me feel guilty and to force me into adopt. I know some of you are feeling like that. So I want to make it clear from the get-go, not everyone is called to adopt, but all are called to care for the orphan and the vulnerable children in our world. Adoption is not for every believer, but it is something that every believer needs to pray about to see what is our role in caring for the orphan. Orphan care, we need to realize, is central to discipleship as we follow Jesus Christ. All throughout Scripture, we see God's heart for the orphan, the fatherless, the widow, the poor. And especially in James 1:27, we see God's mandate outlined clearly for the church to care for the orphan. Now, I want to unpack this verse a little bit more today and show why God says this is what pure and undefiled religion really is. It is clear that there is something about caring for the orphan and the vulnerable that matters deeply to God. And so we want to explore, how is this connected to our discipleship? And so open your Bibles now to James chapter 1, verse 27. We looked at this passage earlier, but I want to unpack and focus on this particular verse in light of Orphan Sunday today. James 1:27 says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. So a true life of discipleship, a life lived for the Lord, is this, to visit. Now this verb actually has the meaning, I came to care for your needs. That it's not just visiting like, hey, let's stop by your house, hey, how you doing, stop in and out, and that's it. This has the meaning of, I have come to visit you specifically to meet your needs. Also, it can be interpreted with the understanding to bring justice for. Who? The orphans and the widows, the weak, the poor, the vulnerable in our communities. And it is to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so he is calling us as believers, as disciples of Jesus, that we are called upon to visit, to meet the needs of the orphans in our community, and to bring justice to them. But also it says, keep yourself unstained from the world. What does he mean by that? It says, don't be corrupted by the sin of self-absorbed living like the world. He's saying, don't get comfortable with selfish living. Instead, use your goods to do good to others. Don't be polluted by the self-centered value system of the world. So this is what James is talking about in his day. Don't let the world's culture of self-centered living pollute your discipleship to Jesus. Care for the needy. Now the irony of this today is that it is actually the world that is known for taking care of orphans and widows far much more than the church. We assume governments need to take care of it. It's the government's job. We assume NGOs will take care of it. That's not the church's role. Where clearly in James 1:27, God has given us, the church, the mandate to care for, meet the needs of, and bring justice for the orphan. Amen? So the question we want to explore today is, why is orphan care such a high priority to the heart of God? Why is bringing justice to the orphan so dear to God? Why is orphan justice central to discipleship? That's what we want to look at. So follow along with me in your outline as well, and there's a few things that I want to highlight for today. First of all, orphan care connects us to the concerns of God. So everyone repeat, the concerns of God. So how is orphan care connected to discipleship? Orphan care, caring for the vulnerable children of this world, it connects us to the concerns of God's heart. Why are we concerned about the plight of orphans in this country and in this church? Because it is a concern to the heart of God. Orphan care is not just a good thing, it is a God thing. All throughout Scripture, we see that the welfare of these vulnerable people in our communities, they take a special place in the heart of God. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 17 and following. It says, "You shall not pervert justice due to the sojourner or to the fatherless or take a widow's garment in pledge, but you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. When you reap your harvest in the field and forget a sheaf in the field, you shall not go back to get it. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands." So he's saying, make sure that you leave extra food when you're gathering your harvest and you forget some stuff. Don't go back for it. Leave it for the fatherless, the widow, the stranger, the alien in your midst, so that God can bless you. Verse 20, "When you beat your olive trees, you shall not go over them again. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow. You shall gather the grapes of your vineyard. You shall not strip it afterwards. It shall be for the sojourner, the fatherless, and the widow." Time and time again, God is making it clear, I want you as my people to be generous and lavish in your blessings of your material wealth so that the sojourner, the fatherless, the widow can be blessed, and so that I can bless you more. Out of the abundance that you have, out of the abundant ways that God has blessed you, make sure some of those blessings bless the orphan and the fatherless. This shows us that the reason why God has blessed you with more than you need is so that you can meet the needs of others. Amen. The reason why you have abundance, and we all have abundance, the reason why we have more than we need is because God wants us to be a blessing with his blessings to those who are in need. Do you realize that that is why God gave you more than you need? God is sharing his blessings with you so that you might share in his heart passions for the fatherless and the widow. And when you care about the concerns of God, God will bless you because you are caring for the things that matter deeply to the heart of God. So who are these 150 million homeless children? And that is who they are. You need to realize that they're homeless without a proper home. As we saw in the earlier introduction, that many of these children, many of these millions of orphans around the world, they are orphans because of AIDS. In fact, in 2007, more than 92,000 Ethiopian children under the age of 15 were living with HIV. In 2009, a study showed that 500,000 Ethiopian children had lost at least one parent to that virus. Many are abandoned, many run away from abusive home situations, and also many are trafficked. The more and more as we go into these different justice initiatives that God is calling us to, I'm realizing that they are all interconnected. That the plight of the trafficked victim oftentimes is also the plight of the orphan and the single mom. UNICEF reports that the global market of trafficked children is over $12 billion a year, with over 1.2 million child trafficked victims around the world. Children between the ages of 5 and 15 are the majority of trafficked children. And for those children without families, the reason why we need to care for these orphans is that vulnerable age range, when they go missing, when they are kidnapped by traffickers, no one knows they are missing. And so no one goes looking for them. And in many overcrowded orphanages, like in Eastern Europe, these places become hot spots for traffickers to wait upon girls, especially who age out of the orphanage system. And even in the United States, estimates have 100,000 to 300,000 American children who fall victim to sex trafficking every year. At any moment online, there is an estimated 50,000 sex predators targeting the children just in America. So we need to be aware of this. As parents, be aware so that you can also protect your children, especially against online activity with people they do not know. But as believers who live in Korea, we need to understand what's going on in this country for the plights of the orphan in our community. It's important to know what is happening. So the next slide I want to show you is the number of adoptions that have happened in this country since the Korean War, because that is what began this orphan crisis in this country. So since the Korean War ended in 1953, many orphans have resulted, and according to the Ministry of Health and Welfare, there have been 165,367 international adoptions and a little over 77,000 domestic adoptions. And that's the first chart that you look at. So well in advance is the international adoption than the domestic adoption. Break it down a little bit further. Next slide, you'll see the international breakdown between the U.S. with the majority, over 100,000 adoptions, and Europe and other countries, about a little over 50,000 adoptions. And again, the domestic at 77. And so this can be encouraging until you realize that there are thousands to tens of thousands of children who become homeless in this country every year. And so that means that there are thousands upon thousands every year who will never find a home because there are not enough people to adopt them. Just last year, in 2012, 6,926 children became homeless in this country. And the next slide breaks down how they become orphans, the causes of them being orphans. Majority, 57%, is the result of divorce or financial challenges for the parents that led them to give up their children. The next highest ratio of people in terms of why they end up giving up their children are usually young single moms, which is why we have our single mom ministry as well. The next is runaways, 10% runaways. Others are abandoned. So currently in South Korea, there are about 17,000 homeless children living in 280 institutions, most commonly known as orphanages, in Korea. And so that's sad, but if you are a special needs child, your chances of finding a family is even harder. In fact, those who have special needs, be it physical or mental, only 1.5% will be adopted domestically. 34% of them will be inter-country or international adoptions. Now, in terms of gender distribution, this is actually a surprising one. Next slide. Who gets adopted? In South Korea, domestic adoptions, 64% of Koreans prefer to adopt girls than boys. And so as a result, there is a larger boy pool, which the international community responds to, and that is about 78%. Now, you might be surprised. If you know anything about Asian and especially Korean culture, you are surprised at what I just said, because you're like, hey, I thought Korean families prefer boys, right? I thought boys were viewed as better than girls. Isn't that tradition? Isn't that the culture of this country? That's what I thought as well. So I was surprised as to why Koreans prefer girls when they adopt. Do you know why that is? Because as Society is getting older and they see who sticks around longer. The reason why majority of Koreans, if they get to adopt, if they choose to adopt, the reason why they prefer having a girl versus a boy is because they're looking around at their parents' generation and older generation, and they realize something, that girls, daughters will stay in touch with and care for parents in their elderly age, while the sons are nowhere to be seen. So it is for selfish reasons. But I don't want to be too critical. I'm still thankful that within this one generation, though it may be motivated out of selfish reasons, I am thankful that there's no longer a female gendercide when it comes to the unborn girl in the womb. Amen. That is one thing to be thankful for. But in light of that, this shows us something. That a nation's culture can change within one generation, be it for ill or for good. And I am choosing to take it in the positive that we can change the culture of Korea within this generation and its view towards adoption and the orphan. Amen? And that is why we are celebrating Orphan Sunday in Korea. But there is another issue that you need to be aware of. As you know, past couple of years, we've been striving to change laws. Some of our suggestions were accepted. Some of our suggestions were rejected. But one of the laws that led to a devastating effect, which I knew was going to happen, concerns a new law that was put into place last year, August, concerning all moms, no matter how old or young you are, had to register the child's name in the family registry of Korea. Now, if you're unfamiliar with it, that's a big deal in Korean culture. That it's public knowledge. You could find out who your aunts, uncles, your family tree is, and you might be like, that's no big deal. But you need to understand that Korea is a very shame-based culture. So for all of a sudden, in your family registry, if you are a young girl, 14 years old, and you're about to give birth, you do not want on your permanent record that you gave birth to a child out of wedlock as a young single mom at the age of 14, because that public information could potentially affect your future marriage options for guys or in-laws who may not look positively on what happened when you were young, and even future job opportunities. And so, this law was put into place, and this law gives great dilemmas for the birth mom. How? Because if by law, you have to register that child in your family registry, then basically there leaves not a lot of options for the birth mom. Either you could keep the baby, which is fine, or you give up the baby. Now, but what about if you don't want to register? It's law, you have to. So what if you don't want to? The only options, really, there are three, not just two. The first option would be abortion, which has increased, even though it's illegal in this country, because of this law. The other option would be abandonment, to just give away the baby or to drop the baby off somewhere else and run away. But there is a problem with that abandonment issue. You see, in Korean law, if you cannot prove who the parents are and that the parents legally chose to give up this child for adoption, that child can never be adopted. And so for all abandoned children, which is increasing, they can never find a home because the government cannot find the parents to prove that they gave up the child for adoption. And the other option that's also increasing are illegal adoptions, which carries over into the black market and trafficking issues as well. So there is a dilemma. The shame factor for these young single moms and their future leads them to abandon, abort, or find other illegal methods. And so places like the Dropbox, which we looked at before, this small place of heaven here in this country on earth, has been seeing exponential increases in babies that are abandoned. And the next slide, I want to show you very significantly how this law that we need to pray that will change, and I'll give you more options of how we can change that later on in the service. Let me show you how this has changed. So back in 2010, the Dropbox, where this pastor's ministry is run from his church slash home, 2010, four babies were abandoned in this box where anonymous moms can leave their babies because they don't want to keep them. Four. Two with special needs, two relatively healthy physically, mentally. 2011, 37 total abandoned babies. 2012, mid-year 2012, is when the new law came into place in this country. And that started having a radical effect on the abandoned babies. Suddenly it shot up to 79 babies who were abandoned. Eight special needs and 71 healthy babies were abandoned that year. 2013, just within the first 9 months of this year, 202 abandoned babies just at this center, the Dropbox Center. There's no way for us to know the real numbers nationally, because I'm sure a lot of them were abandoned in places that aren't as safe and secure as this. 82 of these 202 abandoned babies had notes left on them by the birth mom saying, "It is because of this new law that we are giving up this child," anonymously. And so we are called, as the church in Korea, we are mandated in James to bring justice for the orphan, to meet the needs of these children who are in need. And so we need to find ways to pray into change, to petition for new laws that will protect the privacy of these young moms so that these children can be safe and adopted. One cool blessing of this, of the years that this pastor has been doing this ministry, whenever the baby gets dropped off, there is a bell alarm that goes off so they know that the baby has just come into the box. He will usually run out of the house right away to try to find the birth mom and talk with her and just share the gospel with her and to encourage her. Hey, these are the options. If you do register, then we could find legal homes for them. Some do, some don't. But a cool testimony is that out of the many years that he's been doing this, 100 birth moms have returned to pick up their baby later. And that is a beautiful testimony of the gospel. Amen. And so we need to find new ways to bring justice to the orphan. Also, the international quota that is set in this country, that there's only a set number of international adoptions that they will allow, we need to continue to pray that that will be gone one day soon as well. This is a concern for the heart of God, and as a believer in Korea, you need to know the situation in this country so that you know how to pray for the situation and you know what needs there are for us to be engaged in this fight for the orphan. Amen? Because orphan care connects us to the concerns of God's heart. We need to know the situation here. But another reason why this is so foundational in our discipleship to Jesus is that orphan care connects us to the character of God. So everyone repeat, the character of God. Let's look at Deuteronomy 10:18. He executes justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the sojourner, giving him food and clothing. Love the sojourner, therefore, for you were sojourners in the land of Egypt. Our God executes justice for the fatherless and the widow. Our God loves the sojourner and the fatherless and the widow. What an awesome God we serve. That he is not like us, selfish. He is not like the world looking out for themselves. Our God loves the least of these. Our God loves the broken, the weak, the poor, the lone. That's the kind of God we serve. That is awesome. Psalm 68:5, and this is the psalm that I prayed through at the beginning of this sermon. Father of the fatherless, protector of widows is our God in his holy habitation. What an awesome God we serve. To love the orphan is to love like God. To care for the orphan is to display the character of God. You may have heard of Davian Neighbor Henry Only recently. A few weeks ago, he made headlines in the U.S. newspapers. He stood before worshipers in Florida's St. Mark Missionary Baptist Church and said, "My name is Davian and I've been in foster care since I was born, but I know God has not given up on me, so I'm not giving up on me either, but I will take anyone. Is there anyone here in this church that will take me in to be their son? Young, old, dad, mom, black, white, purple, I don't care. I would be really appreciative, and I'll be the best son you could ever have." He was an orphan standing before church asking for a home. No one responded. But that's not what the church is supposed to look like. The mandate that we've been given, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father, is this: to care for the needs of orphans, to bring justice to them. You see, the world did not always have orphanages. In fact, the earliest mention of orphanages weren't found until the early second century. Holding on to the belief that every human life was precious, early Christians cared for the orphans by taking them in as their own. You see, what you need to understand is when the church was born and there was a lot of persecution, they were the minority, they were the persecuted group. And so when their fellow neighbors and brothers and sisters were martyred and killed for the faith, those children were just abandoned outside the city walls and outside the city boundaries for the heat and the elements to just kill off, starve, and destroy these children. But as the church, this small, yet persecuted, yet Jesus-loving group, found out about these children, they would go outside the city gates and take these children in their own homes and raise them as their own. The church was not respected back then. The church was not admired. No one looked up to them. They were the minority persecuted Jesus freak followers who are known for caring for orphans and taking them in as their own children. And the early parts of church history also record that it was the Christians who founded the earliest hospitals, the care centers for the sick, the elderly, the widows, and the orphans. The first orphanages were actually built on the same site as the church properties. And in the early 1800s, one young man in Germany came to know Christ as a university student, got convicted by these verses throughout Scripture where God's heart for the orphan and the oppressed was clear, saturated throughout Scripture. He got convicted by this. And when he passed away in 1898, more than 10,000 orphans were being cared for under his leadership. We know him today as George Mueller, a man of incredible faith who, through his faith in Christ, gained the conviction that he and the church must care for the orphans, because that is the heart of God, that is the character of God on display in this world. Amen. You know, several weeks ago I was in Bangkok for some meetings on orphan care, and I met the founder of Ukraine Without Orphans. And it was amazing to hear the stories coming out of that country. The past few years, churches in Ukraine across denominational borders were becoming united, gaining this conviction that, you know what? We have over 100,000 orphans in our country. We, the church, need to care for them. They all got convicted by it. So for the past few years, tens of thousands of orphans have been cared for by the church in Ukraine. In fact, they become so convicted by this that they've made a vision statement that by the year 2015, in just a couple of years, their goal is to have no more orphans in their country. That is what happens when the church looks like the church of the Bible. Orphan care connects us to the character of God, and the world sees God's love clearer as we love the least of these. And there's a third reason why this is so important for discipleship, and that is because orphan care connects us to the kingdom of God. So everyone repeat, the kingdom of God. Look at Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. He predestined us for what? Adoption. God predestined us for adoption as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will. Not by accident, not by default, not as the last resort, but by the purpose of his will. Verse 6, to the praise of his glorious grace with which he blessed us in the beloved. The way we become children of God is through adoption. No one is born into the family of God. We are born again into the family of God through adoption. Adoption was God's idea from the beginning. Adoption was God's creation, and therefore adoption is glorious and brings great glory to God. To the praise of his glorious grace, Ephesians 1:6 tells us, to the praise of his glorious grace, which predestined us for adoption through Jesus Christ, that we might be sons and daughters of the King forever. God is worthy to be praised for his glorious grace that he gives to us through our adoption. And because of the glory of adoption, because of the glory of God's love that is on display when his people embrace the orphan under their care, because of the beauty, the glory, the majesty, the pointing to God's heart and love that that physical picture becomes, because of that, that is why I believe Satan hates it so much. I've been finding so much spiritual warfare as we have been fighting for the orphan in this country and in the country north of us. As we have been meeting with people hours upon hours, flying to different countries, trying to get governments to understand what is best for these children, I've been facing so much warfare. And I was so surprised at first. And I realized that this is not a political issue. This is a spiritual issue. And because adoption is so beautiful to the eyes of God, Satan hates it with all of his heart. You see, God's kingdom is a family. God created the family to be the mini kingdom community through which children would be loved, nurtured, and discipled. So children, now you need to understand this, through a biblical perspective on how to view family, children, parenting, adoption, orphan care, we need this biblical perspective and worldview. Children were created to be cared for and raised within a family, not an institution. You see, some people have this mentality. Hey, Eddie, as long as these kids have food and clothing and shelter, it's okay that they're an orphanage. But you see, as a follower of Jesus, we cannot be satisfied with children living within an orphanage as a long-term solution, because that is not how God's kingdom citizens cares for the orphan. God created families for a reason. And God created children to be raised, nurtured, loved, protected, provided for, discipled through families. Amen? And so orphanages in your community means the church is not doing what God has called the church to do. Every person given the honor of being part of God's kingdom, we're orphans adopted by our Father in heaven. You see, there are millions in the world who are physical orphans, but there are millions more who are spiritual orphans. And citizens of God's kingdom cares for both. There are many who have the status of orphans in this world, but there are many more who have the spirit of an orphan still in their hearts. They have never known the love of a father. They may have had a physical father growing up, but they've never known the love of a father. Millions who are still searching for love and acceptance, and even a family to call their own. It is a reminder today that this world is not the way it was intended to be. There is something desperately wrong in this world. And the only solution to this problem of the status of orphans and the spirit of orphans, the only solution to this problem is the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is the solution to those who hold the status of orphans in this world. Why? Because as believers, we have been given the mandate to care for them. The gospel is the solution for those who hold the spirit of an orphan within this world. Because there is a Father in heaven who loves them, and they need to know this love of our Father in heaven. And so, the physical picture of orphans in orphanages also gives us a glimpse into the millions who have the spirit of an orphan because of their disconnect to the Father in heaven. And the physical picture of the church adopting and caring for an orphan as their own child is also a physical picture pointing to a greater spiritual reality for all of us who can call God Father. And the good news of the gospel is that through Jesus Christ, we are adopted into the King's family. We have God as our Father, Christ as our brother, the church as our family, and a love everlasting that is strong, faithful, forever. And part of God's kingdom is marked by a restoration of this love within the family. That a mark of God's kingdom is when we get older and are able to be caregivers of children, a mark of God's kingdom means that we begin caring for this children's generation. Where am I getting this from? Malachi 4:5. The spirit of Elijah that Malachi speaks of reveals the heart of the father who gives love to his children. Malachi 4:5 and 6 says, "Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of the Lord, before he comes, and he will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers." You see, the kingdom of God comes upon a people, and suddenly fathers care for children and children cares for fathers. True religion, true discipleship seeks to bring justice to the orphan. Now, on a practical level today, how can we do this? Today, how can we bring justice to the orphan in this country? I want to give you four practical ways that you could do this, that all of us can be a part of this. Number one, pray for the orphans of this nation to have family soon. Pray the passage of Psalms that I prayed today, that God would set the lonely in families. Number two, pray for the church to awaken with God's heart for the orphan. Number three, pray to see your role in bringing justice to the orphan. Pray about your role. God, do you want me to adopt? Do you want me to provide foster care? Do you want me to be a big brother, big sister? Do you want me to volunteer? Do you want me to give finances to people who want to adopt? We have an orphan care ministry, which we will develop much more broadly next year, and the new name will be Handle With Care. Our foster care, orphan care ministry will encompass this. And also we will develop a more systematic big brother, big sister partnership program with some of the orphanages so that you who are single can also be caregivers in this capacity. And also we have Holt here today to answer questions on how you can be an answer to the prayers of these children. And number four, practical way that you could bring justice for the orphan today. Everyone here who is of Korean descent, meaning you are either a Korean citizen or Korean American, Korean Canadian, Korean whatever, let me see your hands. If you are of Korean descent, so a lot of you, there is a practical way that you can bring justice to the orphans of Korea. At, As you exit on the three doorways, you will see tables with petitions. As we have been given opportunity in previous years, we have also been given opportunities to petition new law changes, and there are key laws that we want to see change in this country, and we want to show the Korean government that, hey, this matters to me, and I want to see this change. One has to do with the age of these young single moms, so that what we want to say is, hey, if they're 24 years or younger, if they're minors, if they are young moms, let's give an exception to them so that they do not have to put the birth of their child in the family registry for the rest of their lives. Okay, so that's one thing, to protect the identity, to protect the child from being aborted or abandoned. So that's one law that we want to see change. Also, we want to provide new opportunities, especially for F4 visa holders. If you are a Korean American, Korean Canadian, Korean Australian, whatever, just as the F4 visa gives us certain rights that other foreigners do not have because of our Korean heritage, that we will gain also blessings of benefits in the arena of orphan care as well. Right? And also, we want to seek changes for special needs children to be provided for greater care with a shorter amount of time. So there's a lot of ways that we are pushing for justice. So every single one of you of Korean descent, sign that petition before you go. And if you want copies, we'll provide PDF copies on our website later today for you to download. And if you print out, get all of your friends, coworkers to sign this petition. We'll collect it next week and we'll show the government that we care about the orphan. Amen. As I mentioned earlier, there are currently about 17,000 homeless children living in 280 orphanages in Korea. 17,000. Our church has 60,000 members. If just one megachurch in Korea took James 1:27 seriously, we would no longer have any orphans in this country. And in South Korea alone, there are 12,000 Presbyterian churches. Just that one denomination of Presbyterians, we have 12,000 churches. If every Presbyterian church just took in one or two orphans, there would be no more orphanages in Korea. I am praying for a Korea without orphans. Would you join me in this prayer? A heavenly dream is a Korea without orphans. Let's seek to make God's dream come true. Let us pray for justice to awaken in the church, in this nation, to gain God's heart for the orphan. Let us pray, God, let James 1:27, let true religion, true faith, true devotion to Jesus manifesting itself in the care for the orphans of Korea be the mark of the Korean church in this hour. And for all of us, let us pray for the orphan. And for some of us, let us be the answer to that prayer. Amen. Let's pray. And can we do that right now? Can we pray for the orphans of this nation to be placed in families one day soon? Can we pray for the church in this nation to awaken with God's heart for them? And can we pray for your role of bringing justice to the orphan of Korea? Ask the Lord, God, do you want me to adopt? Do you want me to provide foster care? Do you want me to be a big brother, big sister? How can I love the orphan of this nation? So can we pray for that together? Let's pray for the orphans. Pray for the church in Korea. And pray for your role to bring justice to them. Let's pray together. Can we all stand together as we close in prayer as well? Can we together pray for this country? Can we pray for the laws to change? Pray that the international quota will be eliminated one day soon. Pray that every orphan will find a home in this country. Pray that these laws that we are petitioning for will pass so that more children will be safe in the arms of a loving family. Can we pray for that together? Let us pray. God, bring justice. Let justice roll down from heaven like mighty waters into the orphanages, into the government systems of this nation, establishing justice and righteousness. Can we pray for that? Let's pray together. Finally, can you also, just as we do each week, just lay a hand on the shoulder of your neighbor and pray a blessing into their life? Can you ask the Lord, God, would you give my sister your heart for the vulnerable of this world? Can you give my brother your heart for the orphans of this nation? Can you use them, Lord? Use them to be a blessing to the orphans of this world. Use their life to make a life-changing impact to some of the most vulnerable in this world. Can we just speak a blessing into their life right now? Let's pray for each other. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you that you are a God who pursues the orphan. And you pursued us. And we were found by you. Thank you, Father, for adopting us through Jesus Christ. Not simply to be your servants for all of eternity, but to be your sons and daughters for all of eternity. And Father, we pray that you will awaken the heart of the church in Korea. Give your church in Korea your heart for the orphan. Let that heart beat strong in the church in Korea. Let the church arise and open its eyes to see the beauty of the orphan and of adoption. God, I do pray that one day soon, because of the awakening that your Spirit will bring to the church in Korea, that every orphanage will go out of business to the glory of your name. Pray that one day soon, these international quotas will be lifted out of Korea. One day soon, these young moms, their names will be protected again from things and choices that were mistakes that they've made when they were young that will not negatively affect these children in their womb. God, we pray against abortion. We pray and speak life into Korea. God, protect the unborn. Bring healing to families. And bring families to these orphans. And now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we think or ask, to the God who could do more than all that we've prayed for and in our limited minds, even the laws that we are going to seek to change again. God, do more
to bring forth justice in Korea and for the orphan.
According to the power at work within us by your Spirit who lives in us. To him be glory in the church in Korea and the church around the world. To him be glory in Christ Jesus throughout all nations and throughout all generations. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen.